Hey guys, it's Vinny B. Raider Nation In the Huddle is all about giving our fans the best opportunities in life. TAT is a new product that allows smokers to enjoy the sensations of smoking with zero tobacco and zero nicotine content. Finally, a cigarette you could feel good about, similar to Raider Nation rituals of winning championships. TAT offers the beyond nicotine experience with its beyond tobacco-based material in taste, smell, touch, sight, and sound without nicotine or tobacco. TAT offers a better option to completely remove nicotine intake without compromising the smoking experience. TAT, beyond tobacco. Raider Nation, get your free pack of TAT today at TriTAT.com.
Broadcasting live from the RNR studios in Las Vegas, Nevada, it's the premier destination for an inside look into the Las Vegas Raiders. You're in the Huddle with Vinny Bonsignor, presented by Tequila Embajador.
And here we are, live in the Raider Nation studio here. Raider Nation Radio 920 in the Huddle. Your boy Q holding it down for Vinny Bonsignor, who is still getting his R&R, his rest and relaxation, as next week training camp opens up across the league. Training camp opened up today for the Dallas Cowboys. Training camp opened up today for the Pittsburgh Steelers. They'll be the two teams that participate in the Hall of Fame game coming up. That's just right around the corner. Got word today by way of email. The Hall of Fame has accepted my credential request. So somehow, some way, I'll find a way to make sure my show, Unnecessary Roughness, as well as JT the Brick, will be somehow bringing you some kind of sound, some kind of audio, some kind of show from the Hall of Fame, Canton, Ohio, as Coach Tom Flores is inducted, defensive back Charles Woodson is inducted, and of course, one of Raider Nation's own, Wayne Mabry, the Violator, goes into the Hall of Fame as a super fan. Good dude right there. Had him on the show many times. Probably talked to him before that happens. But yeah, that was a great email. Really surprised to get that email because I got my request in a little bit late. It was after the deadline, and normally they don't really do too much moving and shaking for people, but I do think that they kind of realized the situation as I just arrived here at the radio station, so they kind of gave me a little slack and said, you know what, Q? We'll do the best we can. So boom, got that email. Good to go. Now, Damon, the problem is I'm going to need you to go ahead and get me a flight. I'm going to need you to go ahead and get me a room. I'm going to need you to get me a rental car.
But you know what I was thinking when you said this?
Huh?
Charles Woodson. Now it's got to happen. Now it's going to happen.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
now
yeah.
Now it's happening.
That's been on my bucket list. That's been on my bucket list for years, right? I always say this is the catchphrase, and I'll pass this on to you. You're guaranteed to miss a shot you don't take. I've been taking shot after shot after shot to try to get Charles Woodson 5-minute interview, 3-minute interview, 8-minute interview, whatever. Just a few minutes with C. Wood. I've been working on that for a very, very long time. That, my friend, will happen. Will happen. I set my mind to it, and I will get it done. And so, yeah, at the very least, it will happen in Canton, Ohio, as he's getting inducted into the Hall of Fame. Very well deserved. So that's just one good piece of news and very excited. It was great to hear JT back in studio, back from his vacation in Florida. He was here earlier today, got to chop it up with him a little bit. And so he's got a lot that he's going to be bringing to the table as far as the Hall of Fame goes. But Raider Nation Radio 920 is going to be your one-stop shop for all things Hall of Fame, all things covering the silver and black. This is where you're going to want to be. Very excited about that. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at RNR920AM. And, of course, more details on the way. Got a locked and loaded show for you, as always. We try to bring you the heat every single day because that's what Raider Nation deserves. I like to have two or three guests a show just because. I mean, just because you want to hear from other people. You want to hear what others are thinking about certain situations, certain players, or even reminiscing on, you know, time as a Raider, you know, reminiscing on their time with the silver and black. So on today's show, matter of fact, coming up in about 5 minutes, going to be joined by Keenan Cummings, West Virginia reporter. He's from WVUSports.com. And you're probably wondering, what's a guy from West Virginia? What's a West Virginia dude going to do on the show? Well, he's going to talk about undrafted free agent Darius Steeles. That's a guy I'm excited about. As I was in Texas, I was covering the Big 12, which there's been a lot of news about the Big 12 today. We'll ask Keenan about that as well. I was covering the Big 12, and one guy who was a constant disruptor, I think that's the best way, kind of a hellraiser on the defensive line for
that's
the Mountaineers.
That's way better than
yeah.
a disruptor.
Yeah,
ooh,
it was. You like that? You like how I upgraded him, right?
Oh.
I upgraded him. Darius Steeles, and he has a brother, and so we always said the Steeles brothers, but it was always led by Darius. Darius was the dude. He went undrafted, which shocked the mess out of me. I couldn't believe that he went undrafted. Kind of undersized a little bit, but out in the game of football, if you got it in here, if you got that want to, size I ain't worried about. And Darius Steeles is a dude that I know has the want to. So we're going to talk to Keenan Cummins about Darius Steeles and what he thinks his chances are of making the 53-man roster or even making the practice squad for the Raiders. I think he's a guy. I'll just go ahead and put it out there right now. I think he's going to make the roster somehow, some shape. I think he's going to make the roster. I don't think he's going to be a guy that's going to be a camp body and then gets released. Now, look, gut feeling. That's all this is. Just a gut feeling. It's 90 men. It's going to get very competitive once training camp opens up next week. I just have a feeling that Darius is going to make the squad. So we'll talk all things Darius Steeles with Keenan Cummins coming up in about 2 or 3 minutes here on Raider Nation Radio 920. Then at 4:30, I mentioned former members of the Silver and Black. How about Van McElroy? That guy was a Super Bowl winner. He played under Coach Tom Flores. Safety. Big time ball hawk. And I wanted to have him on the show because the Raiders haven't had a ball hawk at the back end of that defense in a long time. It's been a long time. Of course, Seawood going into Hall of Fame. When he returned, he was that guy. He was still able to get interceptions whenever he wanted to. He just had a knack for the ball. What does Seawood always say? See ball, get ball. That's what he did. Van McElroy did that as well. Over 30 career interceptions. Again, Super Bowl champ. There's certain things, and I said this about, and I had a coach tell me this one time. A defensive coordinator told me this one time. He said, Q, if you did not create turnovers in high school, you probably didn't create turnovers in college. If you don't create turnovers in college, you probably won't create turnovers in the NFL. Van McElroy was very good at creating turnovers. So we'll talk to him about that. We'll talk to him about Coach Flores. Talk to him about Trayvon Merrick, the new free safety, who I believe is going to be a ball hawk for the Raiders on the back end of that defense. That's coming up at 4:30. Then at 5 o'clock, Cassie Soto from the Las Vegas Review-Journal. She's going to join us. She was at the Mountain West Media Days earlier today over at the Cosmo. I was over there. Steve Cofield and company from ESPN Las Vegas, our sister station, as well as the Press Box, Graney and Tyler Bischoff. They were over there earlier doing their thing. So I was able to kind of, you know, head around and walk around the Cosmo and check it out and shake hands and talk to a few folks, including Coach Arroyo from UNLV football. And so we'll talk to Cassie about the Raiders opening up training camp next week, what her expectations are, what she's going to be looking for. And then also I'll just get her thoughts on the Mountain West Conference that she was a part of earlier today over at the Cosmo. So that's the guest lineup right there. Of course, Raider Nation, we're going to want to hear from you throughout the course of the show, 702-365-9200. The Sam and Ash text line is always wide open like some old school TV antennas as well. You could text 69187. Keyword is RNR. So that's as simple as that. Make sure you hit up Sam and Ash at samandash.com because you deserve what's right. We definitely appreciate them for sponsoring our Raider Nation text line. So we're efforting right now to get Keenan Cummins onto the show. Like I said, I'm very excited about Darius Steeles. Very excited about training camp opening up. Been covering the Raiders for a very, very long time, but this is the first time I actually get to cover them like a glove, be up close and personal. So next week when we're there at the facility in Henderson, and actually I'll be broadcasting this show tomorrow from the facility right there in Henderson, it's going to be a lot of fun just to be out there for, you know, the small window of time that we're able to be out there. Of course, the media sessions that we'll be doing and just, you know, the interaction and as the team prepares for an upcoming season of Raider football. So that's going to be a lot of fun. But before we get into any of that, we do need to get to our guest. And I'm very pleased now to bring on to Raider Nation Radio 920, Keenan Cummins from WVSports.com. He covers West Virginia like a glove. And Keenan, thank you so much for, reacting to my text message so quick, fast, and in a hurry. I mean, it was one of those last minute things, but we definitely appreciate you you reaching out and saying that you had a few minutes of time. And I just wanted to ask you about Darius Steeles. He's a guy that you covered at West Virginia. You know him very well. You saw what he was able to do with the Mountaineers. He was an undrafted free agent. I was shocked by that. But either way, the Raiders were able to pick him up and bring him into the fold. What are your thoughts on Darius Steeles, and how surprised were you that he went undrafted?
I mean, I was totally shocked. I mean, I really was, just based off what he was able to do in college, especially his senior season, consensus All-American here at West Virginia, which has not been a frequent occurrence, and really just how hard he's worked over his career. In a way, I don't know how to word this, but it's almost unfortunately fitting for him, the way his career has gone. You know, he was overlooked in high school, and he was a guy that camped at West Virginia. I've covered Darius, you know, since he was a sophomore in high school, you know, for a freshman in high school, and he was overlooked. And his brother Dante was always kind of bigger than him, the bigger high school prospect. And he came to college, and he always said, you know, I'm going to make it to the NFL. You know, I'm going to be a starter here. I'm going to do this. he got an offer late from West Virginia. He actually originally committed to Rutgers. West Virginia offered a few days later, and it didn't take much convincing. He's the son of Gary Steeles, obviously, former West Virginia great. Flipped pretty instantly, and I guess the rest is history. You know, came here and had a great career. Started off, you know, he played rotational guy. Last 2 years was absolutely dominant. I mean, you watch some of his tape. He controlled the line of scrimmage. The shift to their defensive scheme, what they were able to do with him, and how he was able to kind of freelance, not so much play gaps, but really disrupt up front, really fit him. He's an athletic guy that really has only gotten better. If I could point to one highlight, if you haven't watched any Raiders fans, watch the interception he had last year against Kansas. The ball gets ricocheted up in the air. He chases it down, and a big guy diving interception. You don't see that very often.
No, you don't. Raider Nation, go ahead and mark that. Go check that interception out by Darius Steeles against Kansas. A ball in the air, and he goes and makes the play. A big guy getting in. You mentioned his size, Keenan, and he's a little undersized, but I described him at the beginning of the show as really a hellraiser. I mean, that's just kind of what he was on the defensive line for West Virginia, and I know every team that played him in the Big 12 always had to circle Darius Steeles. They had to watch out where he was coming from. What would you basically say, in your opinion, is his biggest strength?
His motor. I mean, he never stops. I always said in high school, if you could take Dante's body and put Darius's just desire and his motor in it, it would be a five-star player, because it's just together. They're good. They're good. I mean, if you could put them together, though, it would kind of be a Frankenstein type situation. But his motor, he never quits. He's really self-driven. If you talk to him, he's so much confidence. You know, before he was ever, you know, the Darius Steeles he was his junior year, he was sitting there as a freshman, and he was playing a handful of snaps, talking about making it to the NFL, you know, talking about being an impact player at West Virginia. You know, some people probably rolled their eyes at that at the time. You know, he wasn't playing much, and look what he did. I mean, he put the work in, and he made it happen. And I think that there's a lot to say about that. I mean, it happens sometimes in college sports, but it doesn't happen by accident. You have to work for it. And he obviously doesn't have some of those traits some guys have. You know, he's not the biggest guy. You know, he's pretty strong for his size, but he's made up for it with the way he plays, his motor, his effort. You know, I hate to make this comparison, but, you know, during the draft process, a guy that was thrown around a lot, I'm not comparing him to him, but just similar physically with Aaron Donald, the way he plays, and that's kind of what he reminds me of. I mean, he's obviously not Aaron Donald,
right?
No one is, but I think similarly, when you watch them play, you'll kind of get what I'm saying if you watch his tape.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, as I was covering the Big 12 and just watching West Virginia, and any time as I was in Central Texas and he was playing against Baylor, I always knew that Baylor had to make sure that they knew where Darius was at all times, because he was going to, like I said earlier, just disrupt everything, just kind of wreck any kind of idea, any plan that they had. And Keenan, being an undrafted free agent, it's not easy. You know, it's a tough out to try to make the roster, even make a practice squad spot. I mean, right now there's a 90-man roster. They got to cut it down to 53, and I'm not saying I my gut feeling tells me he's going to find a way to make the roster just because of who he is. Again, it's a tough out. It really is. But what about Darius do you think gives him that real opportunity, or that real chance of making the roster?
I just don't think he's going to quit. You know, a lot of guys, I mean, I've seen guys before go undrafted and they'll pout around, and you know what I mean, and he took it as a chip on his shoulder. I mean, I guess you could say he has a whole bag of this. He's just a guy that wants to prove people wrong. He's been overlooked a lot. I mean, as I mentioned earlier, even overlooked in his own family at times. You know, college recruiters, for example, even at West Virginia, they offered his brother when they both competed in the same camp and didn't offer Darius. Mm. So it's one of those situations where he's used to it in a sense. As I mentioned earlier, it's kind of unfortunately poetic in a sense. It's been his story. Always overcoming adversity and obstacles and finding a way to make it happen, because, I mean, you look at what he did at West Virginia, especially from his spot in the interior defensive line, it's really impressive. I mean, he was able to disrupt. I think he had 14, 15 and a half tackles for loss, 7 sacks 1 year. So he really made stuff happen in high-level division college one football.
And to be able to get him as an undrafted free agent, again, like you said, you were surprised he went undrafted. I was very shocked that he went undrafted. And so I feel like the Raiders have an opportunity, and he has an opportunity. He sounds to me like, and I know you cover college football, but to me he sounds like a typical what we would call a Gruden grinder. You know, a guy that's kind of, like you said, got that chip on his shoulder and just ready to go to work and prove everybody wrong or prove himself right that he knows that he can get it done.
Yeah, I think that's really what fans can expect out of him. I mean, as you mentioned, it's the NFL. Yeah, they've got a lot of trimming to do. I think that I wouldn't bet against him, though.
Right.
I will say that. I mean, he if there was ever a point in my career I doubted him since I've been covering him here at West Virginia, he's proven me wrong. And he's proven a lot more people than me that really have doubted him over the years. I think that he's just so driven and he works so hard. That doesn't guarantee success. Obviously, if it did, everybody would play in the NFL. But I wouldn't bet against him.
Right. Absolutely. We're talking right now with Keenan Cummins, WVUSports.com on Twitter at Rivals Keenan. And before I let you go, I wanted to ask some big news coming out of the Big 12. And it's not really big news. It's just big speculation. But Texas and Oklahoma somewhat talking or trying to flirt with the SEC. What are you hearing, Keenan, on that front? Do you think that that's something that down the pipeline could actually be a reality?
I wonder how much the 12-team playoffs has changed things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, before you had four teams get in, I know most people say, hey, it's easier to get there. Is it, though?
Right.
I mean, in the 12-team playoff, you can lose a couple games and get in. It makes me think that, obviously, I think there's – I'd say there's probably more than smoke now with everything coming out. There's at least a flicker of flame. And just when you think we're done with realignment, they're pulling us back in, aren't they?
Right, right. You can never get away.
Think they're done. And for West Virginia fans, unfortunately – this is kind of an old hat. You know, they went through everything with the Big East and then the early days of the Big 12 and now this. So it'll be interesting to see how it all shakes out. I think that at some point you got to feel like this normalizes a little bit and we go back to some regionality that would make sense for everybody. But for the time being, I mean, I could easily see, you know, four 16-team, four 18-team conferences before it's all said and done.
It should be interesting. It really should. When I saw that news today, it just kind of, whoa, you know, caught my attention. I know there's been flirtation. There's been talks for quite a while, but this does feel like at least that it's a little bit more real or like you said, there's a little bit of flame following that smoke right there. That's Keenan Cummins, WVUSports.com on Twitter at Rivals Keenan. Hey, thank you so much for the last minute, like I said, to be able to jump on with us and give us a few minutes of your time talking about Darius and also the Big 12. Keenan, you got anything coming out that anyone should be on the lookout for?
Just a lot. Just tune in. If you like West Virginia sports, if you follow the Big 12, we have a lot of stuff pretty much daily. So give us a check out of the site.
There it is. There it is. Thank you so much for your time, my man. I appreciate you.
No problem. Thanks for having me on, bud.
Absolutely. There he goes. Keenan Cummins, really good dude right there covering West Virginia like a glove. Again, that was something that I reached out to him basically about 20 minutes before the show started. It was like, hey, you know what? No one's talking about Darius, and I get it. It's an undrafted free agent. Everyone gets excited about the first-round pick. Everyone gets excited about the second-round pick. That's just nature, you know? I mean, you just naturally get excited and fired up about certain guys that you immediately see how they're going to make an impact on the team or how you want them to make an impact on the team. But I'll tell you, man, I think Darius has an opportunity. Again, he's going to work hard, and it's going to be very difficult to make the roster. I mean, you're at 90 men right now. It's one thing. Get down to 53 is another thing, but if you got it inside, which I know you do, and I know he does, he can make it happen.
Don't you think that maybe, like, football is going to, like, that way? Like, it's changing a little bit. Like, in the future, maybe, like, 5 years from now, like, that Darius still type, that'll be the prototypical defensive tackle, maybe? Like, a smaller defensive tackle, like, in that 6'2".
Smaller and faster?
Yeah, yeah, just, like, that can maybe get to the quarterback a little quicker as opposed to the 6'6", 330.
Right, the monster?
Yeah, that defensive tackle that's just clogging up. Maybe somebody a little bit quicker. You know, we've seen that with the linebacker position, how they just convert in safeties.
Yeah.
It's just, I think maybe, like, the game is just going to keep getting faster and faster. And maybe, like, those Darius Stills, like, they'll be a little bit more valued, you know, as we see, like, the NFL just get faster and faster.
You never know. I mean, it is shifting. You are seeing a shift. You're seeing guys, like you mentioned, safeties convert to linebacker. You're seeing guys like Isaiah Simmons, who was drafted out of Clemson and went to Arizona. You know, there was really no defined position for him. But everyone knew he was a hell of an athlete. So Let's find a way to get him on the field. You know what I mean? Like, that's what the Cardinals did with Isaiah Simmons, and that's going into the draft. Everyone knew that that was that kind of a player. And, of course, the Raiders went out and got Devon Diablo. You know, he's a guy that, hey, get him on the field. You know, Tanner Muse, who didn't get to play last year, he's a guy out of Clemson. You know, he's a guy who was playing safety, is converting to linebacker. I mean, again, it's just position. It's starting to become a little bit more positionless. You know, Jeremy Chinn. Great example. Jeremy Chinn for the Carolina Panthers. I liked him a lot. That dude was lower level football. He played in college, but man, that dude could play all kinds of different positions. I mean, you want to talk about a versatile dude? He could just get on the field and play. He's just a football player. And that's really all you need. You just need a guy who wants to get out there and get it done. Ed Oliver, I think, is a perfect example. He was drafted the year that the year that Cleve Farrell was drafted. And I remember a lot of people said, oh, he's undersized or he doesn't really have a good position. At Houston, he was a nose tackle, but he's not really big enough to be that guy. And he could play different positions. Ed Oliver told me straight up at the draft, he said, I'm just a football player. Straight up. I'm a football player, dude. Oh, you know what? He was drafted the year Josh Jacobs, because that's the Cleve Farrell draft. That's right. That's when the Raiders had 3 first round picks.
Yep, 2019.
So, yeah, exactly. So there you go. I was thinking, I'm like, in my head, I could picture Nashville. It was the draft and when everyone got together with the prospects that were there at the green room was at the stadium there in Nashville. So I'm like, wait a minute. I know I talked to him at the stadium. And then I thought, wait a minute. I talked to Josh Jacobs that day too. And then I realized, boom, that's why. Raiders had 3 first-round picks that year. So, yeah, Cleve Farrell was the first one. Josh Jacobs was taken next, and then Jonathan Abram. But, yeah, I talked to Ed Oliver, and he said, look, I'm just a football player. You don't really have to give me a title. Just give me a jersey. You know what I mean? Give me a jersey, and I'll go make it happen.
Yep, and he also, for people who don't know who Ed Oliver is, he's also in that Steelers range, that 6'6", 280 range.
And he's a monster. And he's an absolute monster. And I think the Bills are very happy with him. So, you know, again, just someone to keep on your radar. Just wanted to kind of start to show off with a guy to keep on your radar. And Darius Steeles, I think, is going to be a player for the Raiders. That could be a sneaky, good, undrafted free agent pick. And if you look at these, the Raiders roster and their lineup, they always seem to find a guy, maybe even two, that are under the radar, didn't really see him coming, didn't get drafted, but could play. You know, Jimmy Morrissey, I know he was drafted, 7th round pick out of Pitt. The center, I think he's going to be sneaky good. I think he's going to make the roster. There's not a whole lot of 7th rounders that make the roster, but just his want to, his you know, desire to go after it and get it done and really to be a leader along that offensive line like he was at Pitt. There's nothing but glowing remarks about Jimmy Morrissey. I think he's a guy that makes the squad.
My guy, Javon White, hope he makes the squad or at least
I like Javon
squad.
A lot.
Yeah,
you know, I like Javon a lot. You know,
safety, UNLV safety alum. Exactly.
UNLV alum, Bay Area dude. I like his energy. I like his want to. I like his desire. I mean, you know, and he got a little bit of burn in 2020, not a lot. Love to see what he'll do. That's another guy that, you know, to pay attention to in training camp. What does Javon White do? I'm glad you brought that one up. That's a good one. He said, yeah, I know. As DeMond just patted himself on the back.
You know what, man? A UNLV guy on the team here in Vegas, like, I don't care what position he play. I actually do think he can play. But if they were like, ah, man, we're thinking about bringing in, like, a punter. But from UNLV, I'd be like, yeah, come on, best punter in the league. But, yeah, Javon White, when I used to write for the Mountain West Wire, it was one of those, like, the rankings. I remember my rankings, like, best players in the Mountain West.
Right.
I was like, he's got to be at least top 20, right? How versatile he is.
You know, and we were just talking about versatility. Safety, linebacker. I mean, you play him
It was like when you would watch UNLV that season, it was like, man, this defense is god-awful. But they got at least one player that was just like, hey, man, he could be all conference, but it's just like this defense is terrible. But you got that one bright spot. And it's hard to look at those players on defense when the team is like winning maybe 2 games a season.
It's tough. It's tough, yeah.
It's like, oh, the defense is allowing like 40 points a game. How can you say that this one guy is a top 20 player in the conference? But he just is. And you just see it in college.
It makes sense. It makes all the sense of the world. So I'll throw it out there. And we have Van McElroy, former Raider safety, Super Bowl winner, Super Bowl 18. He played under Coach Tom Flores. We have him coming up at 4:30. But I'll throw it out there right now, 702-365-9200. And, of course, the Salmon Ash text line, 69187. Keyword is R&R. What's a player or two that you're most excited? Who's a player or two you're most excited about seeing in training camp? Or maybe who's a player or two that you're concerned about? You know, a guy that you think, hey, he's really going to have to step up during training camp, or he might not have a roster spot. Let us know. 702-365-9200. We got a few minutes for open lines. This is Raider Nation Radio, 920.
Interact with the show. Text Vinny at 69187 or tweet at him at Vinny Bonsignor. This is In the Huddle with Raiders beat writer Vinny Bonsignor on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
.428 is the time. In the Huddle, Raider Nation Radio 920. Damond Cotton, he's behind the wheels of steel. Your boy Q holding it down for Vinny Bonsignor. He's still vacationing. He'll be back on Monday. Coming up in just a few minutes, Van McElroy, former Raider safety, Super Bowl winner, Super Bowl 18. He'll join the show to talk about Coach Tom Flores going into the Hall of Fame, talk about being a safety in the NFL, talking about a guy who went from Baylor. Think about this, Damond. He went from Baylor. And this is a coincidence because I just came from Central Texas covering Baylor as well. But he went from Baylor to the L.A. Raiders. I mean, that's a heck of a jump. You know what I mean? To go from being in Waco, Texas to being in L.A., California as a member of the Silver and Black. You want to talk about a culture change, culture shock. That's what Van McElroy had to go through. So we'll talk about all things Silver and Black related. Obviously with Van coming up in just a few minutes. I did get a tweet from Deadpool's burner account, which I think is an awesome name. I think that's great. Deadpool's burner account. Say, Q, Van McElroy, literally my favorite Raider of all time. Odd choice, I know, but what can I say? Can't wait to hear the interview. So there you go. You know, we had that conversation the other day about, you know, greatest Raiders and who's your favorite Raider of all time. And I always said it's generational and there's always a reason why certain guys were your favorite player. Or you consider a certain guy to be, you know, the greatest of all time. There's just so many greats and so many fun players in the history of the Raiders. It's easy to latch on to somebody. And I could totally understand. I'll tell Deadpool this. I bet you some of those 30-plus interceptions that Van McElroy had in his career are part of the reason why he was one of your favorite players. A dude who creates turnovers like that, you feel good about that guy. I know there was, what was it? Was it 2016? I believe it was 2016 when the Raiders did make the playoffs. And, of course, that was the injury year to Derek Carr. It was unfortunate. But the defense wasn't great, but they created so many turnovers. I always felt good when the ball went in the air. When the opposing quarterback threw the ball in the air, I always knew there was a chance. All right, the ball's in the air. Someone's going to go and pick it off. And a lot of times it was Reggie Nelson. Even though Reggie Nelson was one of those guys that got burnt all the time, he made a lot of plays, too. Had a lot of interceptions. And when Charles Woodson returned for the second time, I felt great anytime the ball was in the air as well because I knew C. Wood had an opportunity to go get that thing. And I remember when one of his goals was to intercept Peyton Manning and he hadn't done it. And he had said, I think it was his birthday. I think it was his birthday where he intercepted Peyton Manning twice. And one of them was just an incredible, incredible interception. Went up there and grabbed it one-handed and brought it down. He just tracked that thing. It was awesome. But yeah. Anyone who's a ball hawk, I could totally see why that would be your favorite player. Those guys are exciting. Any of those guys that make plays like that, so exciting. That's why Eric Allen, when he was a member of the Silver and Black, he was one of my favorite players to watch because Eric Allen made a lot of plays. He made a ton of plays. I remember him and C. Wood across from each other, and Eric Allen was brought in as the veteran to kind of help Charles Woodson just understand what he was supposed to do and how to take his game to the next level and – you know, how to not be over anxious. Just go out there and do what he's supposed to do. Eric Allen was one of those guys. He was a heck of a player. So, yeah, I don't even doubt you at all, Deadpool, when you say that Van McElroy was one of your favorite players or was your favorite player. Not an odd choice to me because he had over 30 interceptions in his career. So that makes a lot of sense. So we got a couple. We'll be getting with Van McElroy any second now. You can hit us up on the Salmon Ash text line, though, if you want to chime in on the show, 69187, keyword R&R. Let us know someone that you're excited about, a player that you're looking forward to seeing or is kind of tracking during training camp to see what they do. Someone that's got you fired up and pumped up. I mentioned Darius Steeles at the beginning of the show. He's a guy that I'll be paying attention to. But who's someone that you're paying attention to? Who's someone that you really kind of want to track and see how they do during training camp as the Raiders get prepared for the upcoming season? I believe it's the third one. We're calling Van right now, and I gave the contact number to Damond, and he just looked at me because there was three different – it's the bottom one, yeah. There's three different phone numbers on the contact. So Damond's like, wait a minute, Q, hold on. Which number am I calling here? So we do a little on-air producing. Sometimes that's how it goes down. Hey, Van, how you doing? So we're efforting him right now, and I do believe – that we have him connected. So we'll get to him in just a second. Now that DeMond was able to go through all of his numbers that he has on the contact. So here we go. Jumping right into it. Got the thumbs up from DeMond. Definitely appreciate you navigating through that, DeMond. I know that I probably should have gave you the heads up a little sooner, but my bad. But right now, pleased to have on the phone lines former Raider safety, Super Bowl winner, Van McElroy. And Van, thank you so much for joining the show here, Raider Nation Radio 920 in the huddle. And we were just talking about guys that make plays in high school usually make plays in college. Guys that make plays in college usually make plays in the NFL. And you made a lot of plays in the NFL. And I just kind of wanted to start off right there. You know, what is it? What is the mindset when you go into a game or when you go into a season about see ball, get ball? Just how do you create as many turnovers you did as in your career you had 30-plus interceptions?
You know, I think you have to have an honest conversation with yourself and really realize what it takes to do that. And I don't think people really actually understand sometimes all the elements of the game that you do behind the scene. One thing I prided myself is getting an interception on a sideline up. It was really, you know, it's just impossible when you're in the middle of the field. I'm talking about as a free safety. And, you know, these guys would take off, but watching film, watching quarterbacks, getting everything they do down to where you can instinctively break before the ball's gone allows you to do that. And I think that's what most of the players will tell you that took place is, man, you get in there, watch the end zone film, and you watch a lot of it. And these guys, everybody has, they give things up. They really do.
How much of that do you think was just instinct as well? Like I said, I mean, if you create turnovers in high school and college, you turn them over in the pros as well. How much was just instincts, do you think, on your end?
I think a lot of it is instincts on all those types of players. I just really do. I watch guys, and Marcus Allen, go down the list of guys that came through, and whether it was in college, I played with a lot of great players in college, and. But you watch those guys, and instinctively, they just make that right move, or they see that place that's going to be open, or you just have a feeling that as a safety, it's going to be a draw or a screen, or just those things that kind of come into your mind. And I don't know why some are more instinctive than others, but it's really a big part of the game.
Talking right now with the former Raider and safety and Super Bowl winner Van McElroy. He was a winner of Super Bowl 18. And that team right there, we've been talking about defense all offseason long as the Raiders are trying to get their defense turned around. They brought in Gus Bradley as a new defensive coordinator. That defense was really, really stinking good. I mean, have you seen a defense that's been so good since then? I mean, there's been some great defenses throughout the course of the league, don't get me wrong. But, man, that defense and the players that you had on that defense, on that back end, really, really good players. What made you guys gel so well and be such a good defense?
You know, we've talked about that. I've talked to Millen, and Howie about it. Obviously, Spike or Mike Haynes and Judge Hayes. Mike Davis, who is gone, and by the way, we all went to his funeral there a couple months ago or so, and it was difficult to see Mad Dog, taken away from us. But that group of guys in the backfield, we had the poster, the no passing zone poster with Nike, and you had three guys in one secondary that went to the Pro Bowl the same year, 2 years in a row. I mean, it's pretty impressive when you think about that. And really, one of those times, Mike Davis should have gone, but I just don't think everybody could have voted all four guys. but it's just pretty stinking impressive, and we have fun with it a lot. But I think there was a real – I think Mr. Davis, you look back in those days, he had a real knack. He and Ron Wolf were really, really good at picking players that fit a position extremely well. We kept it very simple. I think sometimes they overcomplicate it, from a coach's perspective, because you're wanting to see your game in there from a coach and that you had something to do with it. But these guys, it was pretty much, we would bring some people, but for the most part, it was man-to-man, and everybody understood the game and what we were going to do, and we just, they had the right people at the right time, in those positions. I mean, you look at those guys, and I could go down the list of them. I mean, goodness gracious. I mean, I think eight of us went to the Pro Bowl 1 year. on the defense.
Right.
I mean, the whole defense is Pro Bowl.
Right. Absolutely. What an incredible defense you guys had out there on the field. We're talking right now with Van McElroy here on Raider Nation Radio 920. And if you fast forward to the defense and the defense that the Raiders are trying to put on the field this year, they bring in Gus Bradley as a new defensive coordinator. You said a word that we've been talking about quite a bit here on the show, simplify. Make things a little bit easier so guys could just fly around and not have to think so much and overcomplicate things like you mentioned. How much do you think that that's going to help this organization and this defense to try to not be, you know, the lights out defense? Doesn't have to necessarily be top 15, but just a really good defense that opportunistically makes and creates some turnovers.
I think that is a big part of it. You know, I think the difficult part in today's game is because of the free agency and what have you, it's hard to keep a group together for a very long time. So that does complicate things. But at the same time, I think coaches have a real responsibility to realize to take themselves out of the whole situation and allow the players to play the game. And when they simplify it, the players feel confidence in that, and they can sense that. There's a togetherness with them. And when everybody's working together, it just seems to work, guys. And again, I think they understand it. I just don't know if they can stay out of their own way and allow these guys, because there's some talented guys back there.
Mm-hmm.
They've got some skills. And if they will just, again, simplify it, look at that player and make sure they understand his skill sets extremely well and don't try to get him to do things just because it's your call. Try to get him to do things that he can't do real well. That to me, is a very simple way of putting it. That's a disaster.
Right. Absolutely. And you know, you said they got some skilled guys, and one guy that they drafted this year, I'm very excited about. He plays that free safety position as Trayvon Merrick out of TCU, right there in Texas and Fort Worth. I don't know how much Trayvon Merrick you've been able to see, how much TCU been able to see, but do you think that he could be a big time player on that back end of that defense?
I really do, even though he's from TCU. And I'm sorry, guys. We dominated TCU when I was at Baylor all 4 years, so I just had to kind of throw that out there.
I ain't mad at you.
But he, yeah, right. He, no, he's talented. He's got all the skills to be a great player. Again, part of it's going to be up to him and him being willing to take the time. And, you know, guys don't understand, you know, Judge Hayes, who was a linebacker coming out of college, all of a sudden they move him up to the NFL, and he's playing man-to-man as some of the most skilled wide receivers on the planet, you know. But Lester studied more film than you would ever want to know. I mean, it's just crazy. So these guys have to be committed and not just think, okay, great athlete, man, I did really well. I can come in here, understand the defense, and wham, it's just going to happen. No, if they'll get in, watch the film, get after that part of it, and the coaches will allow them to make decisions on their own and not constantly sort of be overbearing on just what that coach is wanting him to do and allow him to play his game. And again, I'm not trying to get, you know, too complicated here, get in the weeds too much, but at the same time, those things do make a difference, guys. They really do.
No, they do. You're absolutely right about that. You mentioned coaches and great coaches, and that was another reason I wanted to have you on the show today. Coach Flores, he's finally getting his time to shine. He's finally getting into the Hall of Fame, and it's been too long, but he's going to get the roses, and it's coming up really, really soon. How excited are you to see him get inducted into the Hall of Fame, a guy that you played for and won a Super Bowl with?
Not only did I play for him, but he traded for me towards the end of my career up to Seattle and brought me up there and mm-hmm. allowed me to be part of that team and help them. But no, the guy's a stud. And Gail and I were going to drive up and go to the go watch him, and we're going to go up there for 4 nights and enjoy it and make sure that we're a part of everything and just enjoying his, you know, his time, because it is his time, and he's deserved it for a long time. But you know what? Better late than never. It's great, and I'm excited for him. And, you know, just his coaching style, I don't know that there's a lot of them like him today. He was very – you know, you have those people in your life. Sometimes it's a mother or father, but in this case, you know, you just stand next to the guy, and you just felt comfortable,
mm-hmm.
you know, confident. It's hard to explain, but there was never a time where you just felt like you know, you can't do something, you know, when you were in his midst. And that's an aura that is hard to get as a coach. But, man, he had it, guys. He really did.
Talking right now with former Raider Van McElroy, won a Super Bowl XVIII with the Raiders with Coach Tom Flores. And, you know, we had Marcus Allen on a couple days ago, and I asked him about Coach Flores, and he said one thing about him is he was always calm, he was always cool and collective. Your team never panicked because Coach Flores never panicked. Is that kind of the sense that you got from him as well?
Absolutely. I mean, if you go to the sideline and you just have, you know, your head guy just yelling and, because, you know, just doing all the stuff, it just keeps you stressed out. But when you have, you know, you can get that from your DC, you know, or maybe your position coach, but you have that guy that's just standing there, and you go, and maybe there's some decisions that are being made, and you're sitting there, and the guy was just cool, collect. I mean, he really had a feel for not only the game, but he had a feel for players. He treated us like men. And, you know, a lot of the things that the Raiders did, he had a lot to do with. I mean, just win, baby. You know, that motto, you know, you could do kind of what you wanted to if you just won. And we did a lot of winning, so we had a lot of fun. I mean, I'm just telling you, I cannot tell you that team with Tom and the guys, I could go down the list of, you know, whether it was Howell, Rod Martin, Ted Hendricks, you know, Lester Hayes, Mike Haynes. I mean, then you go to the offense, Matt Millen, you know, Jeff Barnes, Ken, all these guys who were all studs. And you go on the offensive side of the ball and you just name, you know, you talk about Marcus, but there's a bunch of guys over there. And what a great group of guys. And then you have a head coach that knew, because he had played, really understood as a player that, you know what, you know, let these men be men. Let them have a little fun, but at the same time, let them know, when it's time to play, you know, it's time. And that's kind of what we really enjoyed doing, was enjoying each other. But at the same time, when we were on the field, it was time to get after it. And he really let us do those things, if that makes sense.
No, it does. It makes a lot of sense. And like I said, kind of echoes what Marcus was saying about him. Just, hey, we're not going to panic because our head coach isn't panicking. So even when we're not having a good game, we're going to go ahead and still do what we got to do, because he's calm, cool, and collective. I did want to ask you about Charles Woodson, first ballot Hall of Famer. I don't think anyone was surprised by that. But just from what you were able to see from a guy who created a bunch of turnovers as well, just seeing what C. Wood was able to do over the course of his very long career, what were your thoughts on him, and how excited are you that he's going into the Hall in his first ballot?
First, I'm extremely excited because the guy deserved it, and he's a stud. You know, I watched him and watched his style of play and tried to, you know, implement some of the things that my skill sets would allow to do and you know, in his game. But the guy was just so overly talented. He could really play any position back there, but he really had a nose for the ball. He seemed to always put himself in a position to make a play. And that's a big phrase there, and it's pretty general, but it's very difficult to do, guys. And you know, you hear it sometimes, but this guy was the best at that. He really was. I mean, there are people that have that ability to just put themselves always in the best position to make a play. And there are a lot of guys that seem to always kind of always be a little behind. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They just kind of they might make the play, but it was a little late. And it might have been a great play, but this guy, you know, went beyond the great play and just made the super great plays. And so, yeah, the guy's a stud. He speaks well for the safeties and what have you. And so I'm just excited for him, man. He's just a stud. It'll be cool. And I actually got invited to go to one of his parties too while I'm up there. And so that'll be fun to, just go love on him a little bit and take his hand and what have you, guys.
Nice, nice. So I'm assuming that I could be your plus one at that party, right?
Absolutely, man.
I know that's right. And before I let you go, Van, you mentioned Baylor, TCU. You know, I it's funny, I came from the West Coast. I went to Texas. I was covering Baylor like a glove. That we were the flagship radio station for Baylor. And now I'm back on the West Coast here in Las Vegas. But how much of a culture shock was it for you, or how big of a surprise was it for you when you went from Baylor in college to the LA Raiders?
So hold on, guys. Hold on. And first off, it was the Oakland Raiders initially when I went there. And so that's even that's even crazier.
Yeah.
Not only Baylor, my dad was a preacher.
Right.
So here, there's a lot of really funny stories to this, but here I was, preacher's kid. I'm going, you know, to a team where the headline of, you know, the Kansas City Star was, you know, put all your women up, you know, all your little girls up. The Raiders are coming to town to, you know, to pillage in. I mean, it was just, you know, a nightmare. I mean, it was so funny. But, you know, you had that going on. And then I'm also a guy that was drafted to the Soul Patrol. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
This is wonderful, man. And I was talking about that at Mike Davis's funeral, and you know how Mike was such a great guy, and really making me feel a part of that team. You know, because it can be, you know, all those things can get difficult. You know, guys right. working together and just all the different little things that are going on. But so here you had the old white guy from South Texas going to the Raiders, preacher's kid going to the Soul Patrol, and you know, it's just. There's so many things in that whole story that are just great that is just funny to talk about. And believe me, we've talked about them and just realize how close all of us and Judge and Mike and I are still close to another guy that sometimes I forget to mention in that group was Otis McKinney. Otis was a guy who was a nickel guy and you know he was outside on the slot. He was inside, you know, as a backer on third down with a running back. He might be covering the tight end. You know, and what have you. So there was a lot of skill sets he needed to provide that nickel play. So that guy was very critical in it too. So, but no, it was my dad. You know, it was just funny because you know my dad was. I mean, they were shocked when they were pregnant, guys. I mean, because my brothers were 18 years old. You know, dad's like, "Well, you're what? Another one coming? You know, goodness gracious." And so here I am, but he was pretty old by the time I'd got up there, and my dad had never been on a plane or jet or anything, and I flew him and mom up there one time, and it was pretty funny.
That's so, yeah, awesome.
You say all those things. It was classic. It was classic Al Davis, man, just trying to find players and Ron Wolf that fit what they were trying to accomplish at that particular position. And fortunately for me, man, what a blessing, man. It all worked out so well and around a great bunch of guys, and I'm just so excited to finally get to go see Tom get his due and do his thing. And, man, I'm going to probably get emotional for him because it's just a great honor that's deserved.
Absolutely. It's going to be a lot of fun. I can't wait. Just got my credential approved today for the Hall, so we'll definitely see you there. It's going to be a takeover of the Raider Nation. Of course, all the alums of the Raiders will be there. It's going to be a whole lot of fun. And Van, we definitely appreciate your time. Matter of fact, we appreciate all the time that you gave us this afternoon, sharing all these great stories with us. Look forward to seeing you in Canton, and we'll talk to you soon.
You're a good dude, man. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it, guys.
Appreciate you. There he goes, Van McElroy right there, former Raider safety, Super Bowl winner, over 30-plus interceptions in his career. You heard right there, going from Waco, Texas, a preacher's kid, to a member of the Raiders. And I don't know why I thought it was the L.A. Raiders that drafted him. I'm glad he corrected me on that. It was the Oakland Raiders, part of the Soul Patrol. I mean, just I can imagine that, just kind of walking into that scene like, okay. All right, well, here we go. You know, and just oh, man, I bet you that was a lot of fun. And I bet you if those walls could talk, man, just the different stories that they have. And as you heard him say, if you could play, just go out there and win. You can kind of do what you want to do. And that's how it was back in the day. I mean, it's not really – the NFL don't really fly like that anymore these days. But, I mean, back in the day, you know, the old Raider teams and those characters, the cast of characters that they had on those squads, I could just imagine how it got down. So many, many thanks to Van McElroy and – Damon, I'm going to hit him up when we get to Canton.
Oh, you got to.
I mean, he said I could be part of his plus one.
You got to act like you was just joking, too, but you got to, like, see it.
No, I don't. I'm going to be like, oh, I'm serious. I'm going to be like, man, what's up, dog? You know, I'm going to act like we just go way back.
You know, because I've gotten in so many places I shouldn't have been just about walking with the people who are supposed to be there. You just keep walking?
Yeah. Look, this is the key. This is the key to it. You always look like you know what you're doing. The minute you don't look like you, the one minute where you look suspect is the minute you're suspect. If you look the part, you're fine. I've walked backstage to many concerts before, no business back there, but it's cool. All you got to do is just act like you know that you belong. And when you belong, you're good. And I'll tell you, as a guy who's been to a Hall of Fame party, and I've only been to one, I can only imagine like the stories JT would have, because I know JT's been to a bunch of them. That's why I know how much fun the Hall of Fame is and how amazing it is when you go there, because I was blessed to be able to go once. And I realized, like, that's the Mecca. All right, that's the Mecca, because everyone, you can go to the draft and you might see 10 great players get drafted. Great players. I mean, great players may get drafted. And it's fun. It's exciting. You may go to the Super Bowl and see Hall of Famers walking around on Radio Row and get to talk to them. That's great. That's awesome. But when you go to the Hall of Fame, everyone has a gold jacket. It's not the Hall of Okay. It's the Hall of Fame.
And everyone's there to celebrate.
For the most part. For the most part, everyone's there. As they're introducing everyone, you know, before the ceremony begins, you just realize, whoa, and whoa, and whoa. You know, I mean, again, it's just a hell of an experience, man. So I encourage Raider Nation. I know it's kind of last minute, but if you have an opportunity to get yourself out there to Canton, Ohio for the Hall, I definitely encourage you to do it, because it is something that you'll talk about forever. I mean, you really will. And those parties, come on, they go hard in the paint.
I bet that's what I mean. Everybody's LT, there to say, like, not man. Everybody's there to celebrate. Everybody's happy.
LaDainian Tomlinson, and I know that you hear that name and Raider Nation cringes, because I used to tell LT all the time, hey man, I couldn't stand you when you played.
Just go up, man. Hey man, how you doing?
No,
just gotta let you know.
Yeah, I did. I respected the hell out of him because he's a great player. But man, the dude averaged like 4 touchdowns a game against the Raiders. He always did, and so he hurt my feelings anytime he touched the ball. Yeah, and then he did that little stupid flip. That was even worse. I don't know what's worse, him running all over the team or flipping, doing that little whatever. Ugh. That was irritating.
I wish somebody could see me right now. Just did it. That's
yeah, what yeah. So fired up. He sure did. Yeah, he just did it again, too. No reason for it. Don't do it a third time. 3 strikes and you're out. But no, and you know, the thing about LT, and then we'll take a break, he told me at Radio Row, he said, hey, Q, I mean, I had a lot of success against the Raiders, but Al Davis respected the hell out of me. He said Al Davis would talk to him all the time, you know, and tell him how much he irritated him because he had so much success against the team. But and he said he had a ton of respect for Al Davis. He had a ton of respect for Raider Nation. I mean, just, you know, obviously that rivalry between the Chargers was big and major. And again, nobody was a fan of LT, but man, that dude, he was very respectful after the fact. I mean, on the field, disrespect. That little flip, very disrespectful. But after the fact, you know. He was a good dude, but that, man, he had T.I. performing at his Hall of Fame party. Like, literally. I'll show you pictures in the
I'm not going to lie, because, like, you say that, and I'm like, when LT was popping, T.I. was also popping.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
This could have been a great party.
Oh, that was an awesome party. I'll show you pictures in the commercial break. Matter of fact, 4:55 is the time. Let's go ahead and take a break. We'll come on back, kick off hour number 2 of In the Huddle, and we'll be talking with Cassie Soto from the Las Vegas Review-Journal. She was there at the Mountain West Media Days today. Also, she's going to be there at the training camp, at the training facility in Henderson next week as the Raiders open up camp. So we'll talk to her all things Raiders and get a little bit of the Mountain West, her vibe from today's Media Day as well. This is In the Huddle right here on Raider Nation Radio 920.
Hey guys, it's Vinny B. Raider Nation In the Huddle is all about giving our fans the best opportunities in life. TAT is a new product that allows smokers to enjoy the sensations of smoking with zero tobacco and zero nicotine content. Finally, a cigarette you could feel good about, similar to Raider Nation rituals of winning championships. TAT offers the Beyond Nicotine experience with its Beyond Tobacco-based material in taste, smell, touch, sight, and sound without nicotine or tobacco. TAT offers a better option to completely remove nicotine intake without compromising the smoking experience. TAT, Beyond Tobacco. Raider Nation, get your free pack of TAT today at TriTAT.com.